recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty.
Good evening and welcome to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey LaBounty. Dalton Orwig on a special assignment tonight, and I just want to start out tonight's show by giving my prayers and thoughts to those along the Gulf Coast who have been affected by Hurricane Ida, and especially those in the Louisiana and the Boot and Mississippi area as this hurricane has continued to go ahead and drift north. But my thoughts and concerns are really with those who are affected by it. And the great thing about the Gulf Coast and Southern hospitality is when something like this happens, we all find a way to help our neighboring states and chip in. And I've seen so many power trucks and so many different people from other states getting ready to travel through the Gulf Coast to try to help other Gulf Coast residents during this time of disaster. So again, thoughts and prayers for everyone who was affected by Hurricane Ida and is currently being affected by Hurricane Ida, as evident today here in Saraland and Criollo with the tornadoes touching down. So our thoughts and prayers again with everyone. We know a lot of people are tuned into the radio because power is out a lot of places, but we want to thank everybody for tuning in to Sports Night tonight on FM Talk 106.5. And I want to start the show with one of the weird tales of the weekend. As we know, last week we talked about college football getting ready to get started up, and we had those football games that were started on Saturday. But this one's kind of coming from a ESPN high school broadcast. ESPN over the last couple of days have broadcasted a series of high school football games, and they have a high school showcase called the Geico ESPN High School Kickoff. And this one was one to where ESPN really had one pulled over their eyes in this situation, to where on Sunday, on their main station, on not ESPN3, on not ESPN+, but on regular ESPN, they featured the number one team in the country, IMG Academy, which is a prep academy school to where you can come throughout the country and play for this school. It's basically a prep school, and they played Bishop Sycamore, and that's great when IMG, the number one ranked team in the country, plays someone else, and this someone else just so happened to be Bishop Sycamore out of Ohio. But the problem is Bishop Sycamore had just played a high school football game on Friday night and then turned around less than 48 hours later and got on national television and played against IMG Academy. Now you ask yourself, how in the world does ESPN allow this to happen? And it really frustrated a lot of the broadcasters, and I guarantee this won't happen again, because here locally, 1 year ago, we had the Geico High School showcase between Spanish Fort and St. Paul's, and this Bishop Sycamore school was supposed to have several Division I prospects on its roster, as IMG Academy does in every sport that they participate in. But the problem is, when they got on the field, there was no confirmation of these supposed and alleged Division I prospects. And because of it, IMG Academy winds up beating Bishop Sycamore 56-0. But this is how this happened. ESPN hires a marketing group called the Paragon Marketing Group, and that is the company who scheduled the game for ESPN. And apparently they did so without doing their homework and finding out that Bishop Sycamore not only did not have the elite prospects that they were supposed to have, that they played a high school football game on Friday night less than 48 hours later. And you have to be disappointed that the executives at ESPN allowed something this to happen, because we're talking about 16, 17, 18-year-olds who are playing a vicious game of football and playing two football games within 48 hours of each other against the number one team in the country. as some of the announcers said, this definitely was not a healthy situation for those players who were participating in it. And ESPN released a statement saying that they apologized for it. Had they known it, they would have went ahead and canceled that primetime game that was being played on Sunday. But that's one of the most interesting stories that I thought came out of this weekend, not only in college, but high school football as well. And we did have some college games to talk about. We had Illinois ruining Scott Frost's debut for the 2021 season. And, you know, Scott Frost is probably in a lot of hot water in regards to his job, because this is a team that certain talking heads predicted Scott Frost would take them back to the original Tom Osborne days and win them a national championship. But surprisingly so, they lose to Brett Bielema and Illinois 30-22. Fresno State blanked UConn 45-0. UCLA defeats Hawaii 44-10. UTEP beats New Mexico State 30-3. And San Jose State beats Southern Utah 45-14. Now, this Wednesday, September 1st, we have a great midweek contest between UAB and Jacksonville State. And I always love it when two schools that are within the same state play one another, whether it's Alabama, Auburn, or South Alabama and UAB. It doesn't matter. Those type of matchups are very intriguing. Reason being, when you have UAB's quarterback, Tyler Johnston, playing starting quarterback for the UAB Blazers, he's pretty much rewrote the history books there at UAB, and he's been nothing but a winner. He was a high school winning state championship quarterback at Spanish Fort and has gone on to UAB and taken the starting job the last couple of years and done a wonderful job as the starting quarterback, but except when he was injured with his arm injury. But they're going to play on ESPN this coming Wednesday in the Montgomery kickoff. So definitely gives you something to look forward to watching on Wednesday night to kind of take your mind off of things that are going on. We'd love to hear from you on Sports Night. 251-343-0106 is how you can call in to the show and get in touch with us. Again, that's 251-343-0106. We're going to talk to A.P. Stedham, who has and premiered a new movie that's out. He'll talk about that. The Wishbone Boys, we'll talk about how that movie transpired and what his thoughts are about Alabama's opening debut game this coming Saturday against the U, none other than the Miami Hurricanes. And there's been a lot of talk about the rivalry between Alabama and Miami, especially going back to that 1992 national championship game. So it'll be fun to talk to AP Stedham about the expectations. And the rosters came out from a depth chart standpoint for both Auburn and Alabama today. We'll talk to Jason Caldwell around 6:30 or 6:45 about the Auburn Tigers' new starting depth chart and what to expect from Auburn. As you can listen to FM Talk 106.5, as we are the home of the Auburn Tigers as they kick off against Akron at 6 o'clock p.m. this Saturday. And South Alabama kicks off against Southern Miss at 7 o'clock p.m. And we know Hattiesburg was hit by the hurricane as well, so we hope all is well and they're able to try to get in some practices. And we'll talk a little bit about the NFL rosters, who had their cut down to 53. The Saints had to relocate out of New Orleans as they're going to open up against the Green Bay Packers. So we'll talk a little bit about the NFL rosters and the surprises, because I wanted to see Tua play this weekend. Didn't get an opportunity to see him play against the Bengals this weekend, but did have an opportunity to watch Mac Jones have a strong performance. And his head football coach, Bill Belichick, said he's not quite ready to name a starter for the New England Patriots, but the Patriots invested in Mac Jones, and you know, he and Cam both work very well together. So we'll talk about that NFL cutoff rustle as well. But coming up next here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5, we'll talk to AP Stedham, who will give us an update on the University of Alabama and his new movie that debuted this weekend in Tuscaloosa. Don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss it. Welcome back to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey LeBounty, sitting in the captain's seat tonight. My main man, Dalton Orwig, on assignment on this blustery Monday evening. And I tell you what, it's that time of year, folks, to where you get excited about college football. You know, when high school football kicks off, that college football is probably a couple of weeks away from it. And this year is no different, with a great opening matchup for the Crimson Tide. And the Crimson Tide have taken great pride in their opening kickoff matchups. And Nick Saban's 10-0 all time in those opening kickoffs. And one of the places he does like to open up is in Atlanta, whether that's at the Georgia Dome, the former Georgia Dome, or the Mercedes-Benz Stadium now there in Atlanta. It's like where they want to end their last SEC game and sometimes the national championship game too. And somebody I love talking with about Alabama football and really everything Alabama is the one and only AP Stedham. And AP Stedham had a really special event this past Saturday night as he premiered the Wishbone Boys in Tuscaloosa. And AP, good evening and thanks for joining me this evening.
Hey, good evening, Corey. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
AP, I want to talk to you about your movie, The Wishbone Boys. Those who have not heard about it, that know a little bit about college football, especially during the 60s and 70s, it was a type of offense that was run, and it was hard to stop, and you don't see really anybody running the wishbone nowadays. But tell us a little bit about the title of your movie, where it came from, and what it's all about.
Yeah, the Wishbone Boys was an offense that Coach Bryant turned to in the year 1971. This is the 50th anniversary of the implementation, and he ran it for the last 12 years of his 25 years at Alabama. And it produced three more national championships, nine SEC titles in those 12 years, 100 victories in a decade. That was the first time ever in college football. And he reached the pinnacle of success as a head coach with 323 victories, which was then the all-time record. So Alabama had back-to-back seasons, if you can believe it, of five losses, Corey. And that was after Coach Bryant had won three national titles. So he came up with this plan that said, we're going to sink or swim. And it was 3 weeks before the season started to implement a high-risk triple option offense.
Triple option offense is something that I think if you see a team line up nowadays in it, you really struggle to stop it. That's why I like watching the Navies of the world, because they're running that option offense to where you have to play disciplined, high-key football. And if you're not playing that type of football, they'll just run up and down the field on you. But at the same time, I know during your premiere in Tuscaloosa on Saturday, you had some pretty good guests there and some former Alabama players who were able to implement that wishbone. Who all was able to make the premiere of your movie?
We did. We had Mobile's own Richard Todd from Davidson High School, who went on to be a number one draft choice at the quarterback position, and that didn't occur again until Tua Tagovailoa so many years later. We had Walter Lewis from Bruton, Escambia County. We had Gary and Jeff Rutledge, who, by the way, Corey, both won national titles as a starting quarterback wearing number 11. They're the only brothers in the history of college football that can make that claim of winning a national title as a starting quarterback at the same school or any school.
Yeah,
and then we had Major Ogilvy. We had Wayne Wheeler, All-American wide receiver. We had halfback Joe LeBou. We had Leslie Bishop from CBS Sports. We had the president of the Maxwell Club flew down from Philadelphia. We had visitors like Leon Douglas, the great All-American basketball player from Alabama. So we had a great group of people to enjoy the evening.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, if people want to find a way, I know your premiere was in Tuscaloosa, but a lot of people who follow the Crimson Tide, especially during the Bear Bryant era, want to know how can they go ahead and view this movie? How can they watch it? How can they pull it up? Talk to us about how people can watch or view this movie, because people who didn't come to the premiere on Saturday, I know, have been asking me, what is it about this movie that makes it special besides it being about the tale of the Wishbone?
Yeah, we had our premiere in Tuscaloosa on Saturday, and people can watch the trailer at wishboneboys.com and see some of the selected clips under the news tab. But we're trying to put this on network TV, Corey. We're working with a couple of different networks, and we're going to pursue that option right now to get it on the big screen on network TV, and that's the next time that they'll be able to see it. And maybe down the road we might have some DVDs available for sale. But, yeah, for those who missed it, you can see a taste of it on our website, wishboneboys.com.
And, again, we're talking with A.P. Stedham. He's with WHEP AM and FM, and he covers the Crimson Tide unlike any other. And I know when you start – looking at today's announcement of the depth chart for Alabama, those who didn't get an opportunity to know this new Crimson Tide team, because last year was unlike any other. And me personally, AP, I think last year's team should go down as the greatest Alabama team of all time, considering everything that they had to go through, going through the 10-game slate, and then defeating who they defeated to win the national championship. What are your thoughts on that being the greatest Alabama team of all time? And then we'll move on to the depth chart.
Yeah, I think so, Corey. I agree, because offensively they were putting 50 points on the board. They had a first-team All-American at running back, first-team All-American at quarterback. They had a first-team All-American at wide receiver. And, oh, by the way, they all were in the top five, the Heisman Trophy award. And, of course, Devontae Smith won, and that hasn't occurred in a long time for the wide receiver to win that special prestigious award. And they had the best offensive line. Defensively, you know, they gave up 19, which was the most in the Nick Saban era, but it's all relative because they were number one in the conference. And they were able to walk away with that championship after winning the 10 games in the league, and then the SEC championship against Florida, and then they beat up on Notre Dame, and then the championship game to put, I think it was 55 points against Ohio State. It wasn't close. They never did guard Devontae Smith. They never did find him, and he caught about a dozen passes in the first half, and probably would have set the single season record of over 120-something that was in the record books by Amari Cooper, but he had every other record. So that was a fabulous season. He'll go down as the greatest wide receiver ever at Alabama for what he did on the field.
I agree with you. I mean, there's not a better wide receiver. And, again, I'm glad that you agree with what I have to say in regards to Alabama having the best team of all time 1 year ago. Now, defensively, of course, that's debatable, but offensive had changed because teams are no longer running 3 yards in a cloud of dust with teams spreading the football all over the place. I think that's what this year's team is so excited about, knowing that they have so many holes to fill and knowing that it's just the next man up for the Alabama Crimson Tide. I didn't think there would be any doubt about who would be named the starting quarterback for Alabama, that being Bryce Young. Talk about the holes that are going to be filled. We have about 2 minutes before we go to break, AP. Talk about Bryce Young before we go to break.
Sure. And I just want to mention Will Riker last year was perfect on the field. I think 14 for 14, made every extra point for 99 points, I think, or something like that. So, but Bryce Young, very capable. Bruce Rawlinson, the legendary coach from Modern Day, he was the best of every coach, and that was including some Heisman Trophy winner, Matt Leiner. So Bryce is very accurate. He's active in the pocket. We're going to see a little bit of more high adventure at that position because he's mobile. He's not the tallest player listed at 6 foot, but he'll find the passing lanes. And the biggest thing at the quarterback, Corey, that I speak to scouts all the time, somebody like an Ozzie Newsome, been watching football for so long, is accuracy. You have to have accuracy, poise in the pocket. Those are two things that are right at the top of the list, and I believe he has those. He needs support. You hear Nick Saban talking about he needs the people around him to play well. And if you get it to the receivers at Alabama, John Metchie III and some of the younger of wide receivers, They're going to make yardage for you, but they have to perform every Saturday, just like all those people did last year. So Alabama, they have a host of running backs, including Brian Robinson Jr., who's a senior, who's ready to be one of the leaders. I think we're going to look for the tight ends to be special this year, Corey. Billingsley and Cameron Latou, I think they can really make defenses put the scare in them because they're long-legged and can get down the field in those seams and cause a problem. They could outrun your defensive backs.
That's the offensive side of the ball. And, AP, when we come back, I want to talk to you about the defensive side of the ball as well as special teams, because you mentioned the special teams being perfect and Will Reichard 1 year ago not missing a field goal. And to me, he should have been the kicker. I guess it's the Lou Groza Award. He should have won.
Right, Groza Award.
He should have won that last year.
Yeah, that should have happened for him.
And we'll talk about the defensive side of the ball here when we come back right here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey LeBounty, sitting in for Dalton Norwig, who's on assignment. And we just want to wish, again, the best to all those affected on the Gulf Coast by Hurricane Ida. And just know that you're in our thoughts and prayers here at FM Talk 106.5. And on the phone lines, we have AP Stedham, and he's what I call the Alabama guru. He's been kind enough to give us his time tonight to talk about his premiere of his movie that he had this past Saturday called The Wishbone Boys, as well as talking about, we just finished talking about the starting offense and what Alabama had to replace. And defensively, AP, Alabama has some holes to fill also, but when you have a Will Anderson and you talk about some names, Malachi Moore coming back, and on that defensive line, Phil Mathis coming back, Alabama in the cupboard is not bare.
No, that, you know, last year the defensive line really came on. They started to pressure the quarterback, some of those younger players, you know, and I look for better things from them this year to pressure that quarterback, probably a few more sacks overall. But Will Anderson Jr., he's spectacular on the edge, Chris Allen. And then you have the defensive transfer from Tennessee, Henry Tuo. So he's used to calling plays as well. Maybe that can relieve Christian Harris of that responsibility and let him play his natural position. But one of the positions we have to look at is the cornerback, because, you know, Josh Jobe is established on one side. They will definitely test the other side, which could possibly be Jalen Armour Davis out of Mobile. And so I'm sure offensive coordinators are going to try to go to his side and see if he has the skills, the ball skills, the ability to run and tackle. And then you have Kool-Aid McKinstry there in the shadows. I'm sure he's going to swap out with Jalen Armour Davis. But I think Jalen Armour Davis will start the season because he has the knowledge of the defense. You know, Nick Saban's defenses are very complex and exotic. And, of course, you mentioned Malachi Moore. He's a ball hawk. But, you know, defensively, I think Alabama will be just fine. I don't think they're going to have any problem in any of the units, you know, the defensive line, the linebackers, or the secondary. They'll have players that are just as good as from anybody around the country collectively.
When you start talking about Alabama's schedule, do you have a prediction for them opening up in Atlanta against the Miami Hurricanes? I know Miami Hurricanes quarterback, De'Eriq King, right, I do believe, has talked a little smack in the offseason that not like you need to give Alabama and Nick Saban bulletin board material, but he's done exactly that. Do you have a prediction how things will go Saturday afternoon?
Well, I don't think these teams can compete against Alabama unless they have a very good defense. You know, when Alabama's scoring 40, 50 points a game, I mean, you might shut them down for a half a quarter or something, but you've got to bring it for 60 minutes. And they usually have so many weapons, offensive wide receivers. Now they've got these two very good tight ends. The running backs will come at you in waves. We're going to have a quarterback that runs the ball a little bit more from the pocket than Mac Jones. So, I mean, right now I think it's about an 18-point spread. I don't foresee Alabama have any issue with Miami, although they're going to come out, you know, relatively healthy probably and excited, you know, to start the season. But I think Alabama will win. I would say it'd be by double digits. I wouldn't have any trouble saying that.
Again, AP Stedham, please let everybody know how they can follow you and listen to you as you continue to watch the Crimson Tide evolve here in 2021.
Yeah, the people can check me out on my Facebook page at AP Stedham and my Twitter account at AP Stedham. And then I have usually we have an interview on every Monday morning on WHEP from the press box with AP. We try to get some interesting guests, whether it's about Alabama or Auburn, because you know, we cover both teams at that station. So but Alabama's going to be contending as normal for the championship because Nick Saban has mastered the R and the D, the recruiting and the development.
No question about it. And just want to thank you for taking time out of your evening, AP, to talk with us about the Alabama Crimson Tide. And people who don't know, you're a Heisman Trophy voter, a Biletnikoff Award voter, Maxwell Award voter, FWAA member. So you have a lot of hats to wear there during the college football season. So I know you'll be locked and loaded and have been this past weekend as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, Corey, for having me on the show. It's been a real pleasure.
My pleasure. AP Stedham joining us tonight on Sports Night. And again, he tells you that, you know, he thinks Alabama is going to reload and not rebuild. And I have to agree with him. And we'll talk a little bit about the top 25 and the Auburn Tigers, who are going to open up with what some people are considering a little bit softer schedule to start the season. And sometimes when you have a new head coach, and head coach Brian Harsin coming in, that's exactly what the Auburn Tigers may need to get their offense in gear before they start the SEC season. And we'll talk with Jason Caldwell from 24/7 Sports about that coming up next right here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, I was out on a drive on a bit of a trip. Get me some kicks. Now I want you, ladies.
It's all good, baby, baby.
Shake it, shake it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and heavy D up in the limousine.
Welcome back to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey LeBounty. Dalton Norwig on assignment tonight. And with the kickoff of college football coming up, wanted to make sure we touched on Alabama, wanted to make sure we touched on Auburn, wanted to make sure we let everybody know who South Alabama was playing at 7 o'clock p.m. and a full capacity Hancock Whitney Stadium. They're going to be playing Southern Miss at 7 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. But prior to that, a couple of games that are going to kick off before South Alabama. Auburn kicks off at 6 o'clock p.m. And somebody who knows all about the Auburn Tigers, who I lean on a lot, he's covered the Auburn Tigers for over 22 years. He's part of the AUTigers.com and part of 247 Sports Network, Jason Caldwell. Jason, good evening. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Corey, how man, you doing good?
Man, I'm wonderful, all things considered. Too blessed to be stressed and just keeping those along the Gulf Coast in our prayers down here, brother. But something that takes the mind off of everything that's going on is college football. And it tends to just make everything better. And the Auburn Tigers are going to be hosting the Akron Zips in Jordan-Hare Stadium at 6 o'clock p.m. Today, their depth chart was dropped. And, of course, everybody knows about Bo Nix and will Bo Nix get better. But to me, the biggest all-season story for Auburn was, A, having a new head coach named, and, B, all of the non-junior college players that were added to Auburn's roster who have an opportunity to make a name for themselves.
Yeah, I agree. When you start looking at it, to me, the bigger storylines for this team is those transfers. When you look at, you know, the amount of transfers, how many of them are going to play key roles, expected to play key roles. I mean, just look at the depth chart. You see, you know, Marcus Harris listed as a starter on the defensive line. I mean, that's a, you know, that's a big deal. When you start talking about the guy that's coming in from Kansas, you know, didn't go through the spring, came in the summer, originally from Park Crossing there in Montgomery, but he's made an impact pretty quickly. But you look at him and, you know, look on that defense, guys like EQ Leota, who I think will be a guy that will play an impact role there. But, you know, Roe Torrence is a junior college transfer, but you look at Bydarius Knight, listed as a starter at safety, Donovan Kaufman, not listed as a starter on the depth chart, but he'll be the starter at the nickel for this team. And so he'll be starter at the nickel, returning kickoffs, doing some of those things. So they're going to have some guys that, like you said, from a you know, that transfer portal market that they're going to, you know, plug some of those holes this year.
First-year head coach Brian Harsin comes in, and he opens up right like he wants to in regards to scheduling, because Auburn doesn't open against an Oregon like they have in the past, or one of those big-name teams. So it gives his offense an opportunity to establish itself, the defense a chance to put their identity on there. And we all know about Coach Mason being on the defensive side of the football. Derek Mason, the former head coach at Vanderbilt, that's really where he made his stamp. But there's a couple of names defensively, Roger McCreary from right here at Williamson High School and Nehemiah Pritchett from Jackson. Those are two guys that are going to be difference makers on this Auburn Tiger defense.
Yeah, I think when you start running down the list of guys that you feel really good about on this defense, Roger McCreary is probably it's a short list, up there with him. He's been such a vital part of this defense for so long, and then Nehemiah Pritchett's really come on. He's played really good football, had a strong spring, and has carried it over to the fall. Those are two guys that I would expect to be a part of one of the deeper secondaries I can remember in a long time at Auburn. When you start talking about, we mentioned all those newcomers. You got Smoke Monday this there. We didn't mention Joshon Miller from West Virginia. He'll end up being in there. He missed some time in fall camp. Those guys, Darius Tennyson, not listed on the depth chart, but he'll be in the mix. But Zion Puckett's had a good fall. I mean, they've got 8, 9, 10 guys that they feel pretty good about in the secondary group. And I think that's what you've got to have nowadays with teams that spread the field. But I think when you start looking at corner, Roger and Nehemiah Pritchett, those guys are going to be, I think, mainstays for this defense.
One of the guys who I was most impressed with a couple of years ago in the Alabama-Mississippi High School All-Star game was a big fella by the name of J.J. Is it Pegues? Am I pronouncing his last name right? Because I think I said Pegs the entire broadcast because I wasn't sure how to pronounce it. But that young man, he's a sophomore, but he lined up in high school at quarterback, tight end, tackle, guard, both sides of the football for the Auburn Tigers. A year ago, he lined up also as a big blocking back. His versatility, will it be used in the new offensive system?
Yeah, no, he's a guy that's a defensive tackle now. He moved there in the spring and really has kind of caught on pretty quickly there. He's listed right now, he's 6'3", 308. So he has defensive tackle size. But he's got that athleticism and power that comes from being a big athlete. Like you said, he's a guy that they won a state championship in football. He's a really good basketball player. They put him a Wildcat quarterback. I mean, those Mobile folks he kind of reminds me of a guy that did some of those things in the 90s for Auburn. I mean, Leo Carson was a guy that was a high school quarterback that weighed 280 pounds. They said, man, we think you're better off on the defensive line. And it wound up being really a key for him. I think you look at J.J. Pegues, got all the tools to be part of a really versatile defensive line with, Colby Wooden. I mentioned Marcus Harris that are both about 280. He's 300 pounds. Ikeavis Walker's 300 pounds. Obviously, Big Lee Hunter down there from Blount, I think, is going to play a role for this team at, about 320 or so. And I didn't mention one transfer in the middle, the biggest guy, Tony Fair from UAB, is about 335 or so at nose. Just like that secondary, they got a lot of different players. I think you're going to see a lot of rotation on that defensive line.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we're speaking with Jason Caldwell from 247 Sports, and he covers the Auburn Tigers and has done so for over 20 years. You look at the schedule, opening up against Akron and then follow that by Alabama State, and then they have their first true road test, I think, going to Penn State, to where in Happy Valley they're allowing over 96 to 100,000 fans in the stadium there, which makes a tremendous difference. But How imperative is it for Auburn to get off to a good offensive start in those first two games with Bo Nix starting at quarterback, especially all the pressure that he's been under last year, especially also having T.J. Finley, the transfer from LSU, coming in, backing him up now?
I think it's just a confidence. You know, when you talk about offense, I think you know so much of it's confidence. And you know, you look at this team, you got an offensive line group that has to, you know, can they show that they're better than the group they were last year? You know, after, you know, not having a spring last year and so many things that went on with them with COVID, they played well at times, but it just wasn't consistent. Can they be consistent now? And then you're having to replace all three, you know, wide receivers. That's why it's, you know, right now you look at it's going to be much more than just a quarterback thing for this offense. They've got so many changes on offense with Mike Bobo coming in. They're going to be under center at times. They're asking quarterback to make plays at the line of scrimmage, but also the wide receivers to read the defense and to make adjustments on routes, things they haven't done any before. And so for them, it's going to be a work in progress all the way through. But, yeah, anytime you could build confidence for them, add a little bit more to the offense each week, you know, it's going to be really important for them as they get ready for week three. And then, you know, you look up a couple weeks later, you're at LSU in week five and Georgia at home in week six. So, know a whole lot about this Auburn team halfway through the schedule.
Yeah, I think that's important, again, when you start looking at what they have coming back at running back. And to me, one of the best freshman running back, if not the best freshman running back in the country 1 year ago in Tank Bigsby. If he can stay healthy, I think that it doesn't matter what Auburn decides to do in trying to find their identity. I think that that big back and that big fella with his soft hands has an opportunity to make a difference. And there's a back that's playing from Auburn that a lot of people haven't talked about, who transferred in from Central Michigan, a young fella from St. Paul's. Tell us about this young man.
Yeah, Jordan Ingram's a guy that, you know, most, a lot of Mobile folks are very familiar with at St. Paul's and all the winning they did there. Obviously, when you think about his brother, Dazon Ingram, that was such a very good basketball player, athletic family. And he's a guy that's come in, and I think he probably, you know, down the road will end up being 215 to 220 before he's over with and be that big physical back. But he just knows how to play, and he's had a good camp. He really has. I think when you look at him, he's gotten some opportunities with, you know, Jarquez Hunter, who's a freshman they signed out of Mississippi that missed a little time. Camp, and you know, Jordan Ingram took advantage of it. So he's had some good times here in the fall. You know, we'll see kind of where those guys fit. I think it's a pretty clear cut one with Tank, two with Sean Shivers. But after that, you look and going, you know, getting some of those reps, see what happens. I think Jordan Ingram's a guy that has come in and I think probably helped himself. And you know, hey, always good to be back closer to home as well. So looking forward to seeing what Jordan does.
Absolutely, I am too, because here's a young back to where coming out, people said he couldn't play in the SEC, was too small, but he's just one of those guys who knows how to win and is a winner and will do whatever it takes to make people around him better, including himself. So I think that he'll get on the field, especially with Auburn having an opportunity to play Akron, being maybe a five touchdown favorite, probably a five or six down touchdown favorite against Alabama State. I think those are the type of reps that he can show his value coming off the bench, is whether it's a third down back or what have not. But Auburn Tigers, if you had to look at their schedule, where do you think they finish in the SEC West this season?
Yeah, you know, Corey, it's tough because I just there's so many questions about everybody. We saw teams last year, but we're not really sure of kind of what we saw, because you know you had all SEC schedule, the schedules were changed, there weren't fans, and then so many losses. I mean, we think Alabama's offense will pick up right where it left off because that's what it's done the last 2 years, but we don't know that for sure. You know, younger quarterback with no experience. Look at LSU, everybody's kind of automatically penciling them in to be top 10 again. I'm not so certain about it. Texas A&M, you know, you lose, you know, one of the top quarterbacks to play in this league in a long time and a 4-year starter. I have questions about everybody. Ole Miss, they're going to score points, but what's their defense like? Honestly, I just don't know. I think Auburn is a team that could be, you know, they could be 7-5, they could be 9-3, 10-2. They got some veterans. Just a matter of can you, you know, be efficient on offense, take advantage of those opportunities when you get them, and You know, that defense, I think, is going to be pretty solid. Kicking game is going to be solid. But you got some toss-up games.
Right.
You got some questions. The questions for me is, can you beat those teams on the road?
That's going to be the biggest thing.
Auburn has played good at home, but can you win at Penn State? Can you win at LSU? You hadn't won at LSU since 1999. To have a 9 or 10 win season, you're going to have to win one or both of those games, and that's out of the gate. That's going to be the challenge.
Well, I tell you what, the challenge that people don't face, how they can follow you and everything that you do for Inside the Auburn Tigers and the AUTigers.com. Tell people how they can follow you, Jason.
Yeah, AUTigers.com, or the 247 network there, AuburnUndercover.com, get you there. You can also follow me on Twitter at @ITJason, and we can get you one of our football guys out in the mail.
Want to thank Jason Caldwell so much for joining us tonight on Sports Talk on FM Talk 106.5. Thinks Auburn could possibly go 10-2, 7-5. You know, it's up for grabs. We'll find out here pretty quickly when they go and play in Happy Valley at Penn State. So we'll see what both Alabama, Auburn, South Alabama will be able to talk about, all three of those teams and many, many more, as college football has arrived and we can't wait. You're listening to Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll see you next week.
It's a life or death situation, man. Y'all don't really understand how I feel right now, man. It's your boy Kanye Titter. Shot Town, what's going on?